Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Friday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good, and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. So we come to you live for the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans applies simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. This hour on the DA Show, Steve Weich is going to join us from NFL Network. We'll talk to Steve about all four divisional round playoff games this weekend. Today's question is, which road team will win? Colts are in Kansas City tomorrow. The Cowboys are in Los Angeles tomorrow night. Sunday, the Chargers travel to Foxborough. Sunday, late afternoon, Philadelphia's in New Orleans. I've got the Chargers as the one team this weekend road-wise winning. I talked about this earlier. I think that the Chargers season has gone in some ways underrated, underreported, underappreciated because they're the Chargers. Because they don't have a history of winning, because they play in a soccer stadium, because they've been in a new city, and it seems like it's largely apathetic to the Chargers in Los Angeles. I think people didn't realize just how great their year was. The Chargers entered Week 17 with a chance to have the one seed. And by virtue of the Chiefs winning, the Chargers fell all the way to the five. That's the difference between a one, having a bye and home field advantage throughout the playoffs, and having to go on the road potentially three times. It was just by virtue of the Chiefs winning that game. 12-4, the Chargers went this season. Did not lose when they boarded a flight. They lost three games at home this season and also lost in a inner city matchup against the Rams at the Coliseum. That's how good the Chargers have been away from their home digs, away from their new adopted city. That's how good they've been with their backs against the wall. Let's face it, 12-4 with one of the best pass rushes in all of football. A two-touchdown fourth-quarter comeback against the Chiefs at Arrowhead Stadium. And a veteran quarterback that's been in the game for about a minute but has never gone to a Super Bowl. I like everything about this Chargers team right now, and I like them because they're on the road. They play better on the road. I also like them in this matchup because the Patriots haven't nearly been as good as the Patriots have been in recent years. We've seen them collapse this season when they played teams with a ferocious pass rush. We've seen what has happened when defenses were able to flood the lower zone, if you will, the 0 to 10-yard range where Brady loves to do his work and force him to throw downfield. It has not been pretty. I like the Chargers in Sunday's game in Foxborough. But I absolutely know that that doesn't do any good for Chiefs fans that remember all of the bad old days of Chiefs playoff losses. You don't need to look very far to find all the Chiefs heartbreak against the Indianapolis Colts. 1995, Lynn Elliott lines up for not one, not two, but three field goal attempts on a frigid night at Arrowhead. Misses three. All three. And the number one seed Chiefs go down 10-7. That was arguably the best of the Marty Schottenheimer Chiefs teams of the 90s. It seemed like that was the year the Chiefs were poised to break through. They had gone to the AFC title game 2 years earlier with Joe Montana. 2 years later, it seemed like this was the team to finally crack through to the Super Bowl. 95, they were a preseason favorite to get there. They were the one seed. And Lynn Elliott, Lynn bleeping Elliott, couldn't hit a field goal. 1997, they were one and done again, this time to the John Elway Broncos, the one seed, and didn't get out of the first game. 2003, the Indianapolis Colts do it again, the no punt game. I was covering the Chiefs at that time. We knew throughout the season the offense was awesome. Trent Green, Priest Holmes in his prime, Tony Gonzalez, Johnny Morton, Eddie Kennison, one of the best offensive lines ever in NFL history. Will Shields, Willie Rofe. Yeah, they could score, but their defense was dog food. And in that game, Peyton Manning did not punt. He came into Arrowhead when the Chiefs were the two seed and beat them 38-31. 3 years later, the Colts did it again. The Chiefs had a 2,000-yard runner in Larry Johnson. LJ was the bell cow. He was the horse. And the Indianapolis Colts, who defensively were never known for their strength of the defensive line besides Dwight Freeney pass rushing and Robert Mathis, totally stymied that offense, nearly shut him out. Larry Johnson could do nothing on the ground. Colts win 23-8, send the Chiefs packing. Colts go on to win the Super Bowl. 2013, the Chiefs have a 3-touchdown lead in Indianapolis in the wild card round. 3-touchdown lead, 21 points. Andrew Luck comes all the way back, defeats the Chiefs 45-44. And now they got him again. They're again a number one seed. They're again the bye. And they again have a wild card Colts team coming in to bring up all the hauntings. So let's start here. Is this reason to worry for the Chiefs? Well, if you believe in history, and I do, that yes. That the demons and the skeletons, the gremlins that come out, that yes, this is another reason to fear the Grim Reaper coming for you. A one seed in the playoffs at Arrowhead. Also, Andy Reid, in his time in Kansas City, has gotten to the playoffs time and time and time and time again. And the only time he has won a game in the playoffs was 2015 when they went to Houston and beat the Texans. But there's no real good wins in the playoffs. Last year, a bad win, choking away the lead at home to Marcus Mariota and the Titans. The year before that, they had the bye. Once again, they were the two seed. The Steelers came in and beat them 18-16. The year prior to that, with Andy Reid, they beat the Texans, but then go to the Patriots in Foxborough and get beat by the Patriots. That was the drive to nowhere that took like 12 minutes off the clock, and the Patriots just allowed them to allow that clock to drip, drip, drip. It was the collapse against the Colts. Year after year after year, Andy Reid, once again, has had really bad playoff losses in Kansas City. So all that worries you, and then mostly what worries you is that this Chiefs defense has been, again, dog food. Once again, the Chiefs offense is great. The defense stinks. Stop me when you've heard this thing before. The other thing is that even before the Colts started this run of terrorizing the Chiefs of the playoffs, Arrowhead was never a really great home field advantage in the playoffs. It's kind of crazy to say, but between 71 and 86, they did not make the playoffs. That was the lost 70s after the Super Bowl teams of Len Dawson, etc. And then in the early 80s, they were awful. They didn't play at Arrowhead until 91, nearly 20 years into Arrowhead. They didn't play there. And they actually won their first game there against the Raiders 10-6. They would also 2 years later beat the Steelers in overtime 27-24 wild card round. But those are the only wins in Arrowhead playoff history. The Chiefs have only won two games in Arrowhead's playoff history, and both in the wild card round. So for all of the noise and all of the passion, and I have been to Arrowhead on a freezing cold barbecue smoke-filled day in the Midwest, and it is a spiritual experience. It is one of the great things I've ever experienced in sports is my days going to Chiefs games. But for all the passion, for all the knowledge, for all the desire and all the noise, all the beer, all the boulevard weed, and all the brisket that's being smoked out there, it has not translated into a great home field advantage for the Chiefs. At least not in the playoffs. Doesn't matter how many Zubaz pants is worn, how many old starter jackets from the 90s are worn, doesn't matter how many Dan Saliamua and Derek Thomas jerseys are being worn. It has not translated into winning playoff games at Arrowhead. So, this lends you to believe, right? The Colts, with Andrew Luck, an improved offensive line, they can run the football, they can get after the passer. Forget it. This is perfect recipe for the Chiefs to gag again. And I would say yes, but Mahomes. Yes, but Patrick Mahomes. I believe Patrick Mahomes gives the Chiefs something they have not had in the entirety of the playoff existence I'm talking about. A quarterback that rises to the occasion. A quarterback that says, follow me. Montana's the closest, and it was 2 years at the end of his career. But whether it was Matt Castle, Elvis Gerbach, Steve Bono, Alex Smith, Trent Green, Dave Krieg, Steve DeBerg, these quarterbacks were not the types that said, follow me, I will win. I will show you. And Mahomes is. Not only is Mahomes right now perhaps the best thrower in the NFL, he's also a guy that says, follow me. He's unflappable. Doesn't mean they can't lose, but it means that I trust Mahomes in this spot. The Chiefs will win tomorrow. The Chiefs will beat the Colts, and they will get that monkey off their back. I'm not willing to say they're going to win the Super Bowl. I am willing to say they're going to win this football game tomorrow, and you watch. Mahomes is going to have himself a day. Now, it's going to be nerve-wracking because that defense can give up points, which is why I don't like them to win a Super Bowl. But they are going to do this thing tomorrow. He is going to break this streak of misery. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Kevin tweets, DA, Sheldon Rankins will have earned every one of those $20 bills because he's improved his play, and that's a big reason for the Saints' improvement. Look, the best thing about the Saints is they are no longer only about whether Drew Brees throws for 350 yards and four touchdowns. They run the football. Ingram and Kamara are fantastic. They now have a defense to go along with it. They have players on both sides of the ball, and you combine that with experience at quarterback, Brees still playing at a really high level, coach that has been there before, and one of the most blinding home field advantages in all of the NFL. All of that, I believe, means the Saints are the team to beat this year in the playoffs. I think they are the best team in football. I think the Saints are going to make the Super Bowl. I like them actually by two touchdowns on Sunday over the Eagles. And I think whoever comes in, Dallas or LA, is not going to be able to beat them there. I think they're the best team in football. And it's because it is not completely reliant on Brees and needing everything to be on his right arm. Our toll-free line is brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. Geico.com. We'll jump into your phone calls coming up here next on the playoffs. Also, Steve Weich from NFL Network is going to join us to help us preview all four games. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good value, big upside.
It's the great Phil Simms, Super Bowl champion and NFL analyst, of course.
I'm happy to be part of the NFL. I love the game. I love watching all the games. Of course, I can't predict games worth of crap, but I can tell you something about them.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, but who can predict games worth of crap, Phil? Welcome back. DA with you. Target Demo Friday. Hey, let us know how you're listening, where you're at, and what you'll be up to, and we'll read them coming up here in about 25 minutes from now for a little Target Demographic Friday. Thanks for being with us. Damon Amendola, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. And our next guest is one of our favorites from NFL Network. He's a reporter there. You can follow him on Twitter, at Weich89. You can see him Saturday on NFL Network's Good Morning Football Weekend Edition at 9 a.m. Eastern Time and NFL Game Day Morning at noon Eastern Time. Our pal, Steve Weich. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, DA. Thanks for having me on again, brother. How's everything?
My pleasure, man. Everything is great. Thanks, as always, for joining us. Happy New Year to you, since I haven't spoken to you yet in 2019. As we look ahead to these games, let's start with the early one, Chiefs and Colts. How worried should Chiefs fans be about the Chiefs' defense against Luck, the offensive line, and the Colts' attack?
Well, you know, I think they've gotten to the point where they stopped worrying about the defense. You know, they know it's not good. And the scary thing about it is, you know, the Colts can play any type of football. If you need to light up some points, they can do that. If they need to grind it out, they can do that. So what the Chiefs have to do offensively is they've got to kind of stay ahead. They can't get into a game where they let the Chiefs, I'm sorry, where they let the Colts take the lead and then grind down the clock with 13 play drives in the second half. You know, they've got to jump out early. They have to be careful as well. D. Reed's had 2 weeks put a game plan together, and if at home at Arrowhead, a great stadium, great crowd, if Kansas City gets up, you know, 14-0 early, you know, that's the secret to them beating a Colts team that, you know, who knows if they can play from that type of deficit in that type of environment.
We just listed all of the heartbreaks, the hands of the Colts and the playoffs for the Chiefs. How much do you factor in history to something like this? Is it something that exists and is a real thing, or just something that gives us something to talk about throughout the week?
I think if a lot of the players were the same, you could say that. But Pat Mahomes wasn't there for that 45-44 game, Chiefs-Colts game a couple years ago. I mean, a lot of these players are so different. I mean, what have we talked about? One of the biggest secrets for our biggest weapons for the Colts is they're rookies. They weren't part of this. So I wouldn't factor history into any part of this just because it's not like a 10-year veteran going against a 9-year veteran, and you have those types of players throughout the rosters.
Steve Weich joins us from NFL Network. The other AFC game, the Chargers and the Patriots. This is kind of interesting because the road team has the better record in this game. Chargers are 12-4, Patriots are 11-5. What will it take for the Chargers to be able to go there and win something that is so rare in the playoffs at Gillette Stadium?
Yeah, that's the hard part. I mean, winning in Foxborough, you know, speaking to some of the Chargers players, you know, I live in L.A., I'm around them a lot, they know they've got to play a perfect game. I mean, they feel that, you know, they're not going to get, you know, penalties, you know, in terms of they're not going to get calls that benefit them. So they've got to play a clean game. They can't have any turnovers. You know, the Patriots – at home, I mean, their turnover differential is so much in their favor. The penalty differential is so much in their favor. So the Chargers players know they've got to play a clean game. But the one thing the Chargers can do is they can really play, as explosive as they are, they can really play ball control. And we saw that last week in Baltimore where they took the time of possession away. They also, and it just, you know, when we think about all their offensive weapons, we forget this is a great defense in terms of talent and playmakers. You've got Bosa, you've got Ingram, you've got Casey Hayward on the back end, and I'm telling you, I've covered four or five of their games. No player jumps off the field so much as Derwin James. He is an X factor in so many different ways, in the run game, the pass game, and open field tackling. If they bring their defense that they've been playing with, they've got a very, very good chance to win in Foxborough.
Why do you think this Chargers team has been so good on the road? I mean, I can't believe they are 8-0 when they board a flight. What makes them so good away from L.A.?
Well, I mean, look, part of it is, you know, here in L.A., they play in a 25,000, 26,000-seat stadium, and it's usually 20,000 opposing fans. So they use that as a rallying cry. You know, as much as the team hates to say it, players and coaches have told me they feel like they play 16 road games. And so I think when they get away and they play in these bigger venues and they've got more people yelling at them and doubting them and criticizing them, they lock in more. And they're just a focused team. Their head coach, Anthony Lynn, who deserves some credit for Coach of the Year, has done such a fantastic job of pushing the right buttons, of getting these guys to play well, that now that they're at this critical juncture, they're in a constant state of urgency. And I'm telling you, with the talent they have on this team, there might not be a more talented team left in the playoffs. Talent combined with their focus, they are a dangerous, dangerous football team.
Steve Weitz joins us from the NFL Network. On the NFC side of things, it's the Eagles and the Saints. I know that there's Nick Foles magic here, but are the Eagles equipped to go to the Superdome and play a game that could potentially be played in the 30s, or do they have to make sure they keep this thing relatively low scoring?
Oh, they can score points now. I mean, they can play a high-scoring game. They've shown that with Foles. I think they did it a couple weeks ago with the Rams, and they came in here and put up some points. So, you know, they can play that type of game. The thing right here is they can't let it get out of control quickly. Kind of the same thing I said about the Chiefs-Colts game. Sean Payton and Drew Brees have had 2 weeks to scheme this thing up. And if they come out and get to that type of lead, you know, 14-0, 14-3, they're going to keep on trying to pile points on, but they can also grind it out with Mark Ingram and Kamara. The Eagles have some magic going on, and they've got to have some nice ball control type drives. And I know they've got the Nick Foles magic going on, but I think some credit needs to go to some other player. I mean, Darren Sproles has been fantastic since he's come back. Alshon Jeffery, some of these other, you know, Goddard, some of these other offensive players. That offensive line has been fantastic. They've got a very special thing going. They are just going to have to really be able to handle that initial blitz that they're going to get hit with by the Saints offense. If they can prevent them, maybe hold them to field goals early on, they're going to have a good chance.
Rams sat all of their starters in Week 17. What do you think? Do you think that this is...
No, they didn't.
I'm sorry, the Saints did.
I was at that game.
That's right. Yep. The Saints sat all of their players in Week 17. The Rams did not. I was wondering what your thoughts were of that in terms of momentum going into the playoffs if you have a bye. Do you like playing the starters in Week 17 if you have a bye?
Well, their reason for doing it was different from Dallas. You know, Dallas wanted to kind of keep that momentum going. The Rams were still trying to secure the number two seed. Remember, it had not been decided yet between them and the Bears. Had they lost and the Bears won, Chicago would have been the number two seed. So the Rams, what that did for them is it really kept them focused and locked in. And speaking of Rams players this week going into this game, they said last season, you know, when they did rest their players in Week 17 and had to play the Falcons in L.A., they kind of took their eye off the prize, you know, with that, you know, without having really, you know, something to play for in Week 17. This really kept them locked in. And then you add into the fact that during their bye week, you know, they're playing Dallas. You're hearing all the stuff about Ezekiel Elliott and the run game and how the Rams don't stop the run. They are locked in. You know, I've spent some time around this team this week. They are about as dialed in as they can get. You know, they also admit last year their success kind of came as a surprise to a lot of them. This year they came into the season with a whole different mindset because they knew they were going to have a good team. So they've approached this a lot differently than they did last season.
On that point, the Rams are giving up more rushing yards per attempt than anybody, 5.1 yards per game. And, of course, the Cowboys and Zeke will want to run it. Do you think the Cowboys can win this football game if they are one-dimensional but successful one-dimensionally with Ezekiel Elliott?
Offensively, I mean, sure. I mean, that's what they do. If they sit there and they pound them and they're able to score touchdowns, that's how you can do it. If you can beat down a defense, you know, that's part of it. But, you know, the Dallas' defense has got to stop the Rams' offense.
Yeah.
You know, that's the other part of it. You know, the Rams are going to score. Dallas' defense is really good, but the Rams have got weapons, maybe not as big of names, but Todd Gurley, he's going to be back. He's fired up. He's tired of hearing about Ezekiel Elliott. You know, he's also seen C.J. Anderson come in the past two games off the street and rush for nearly 300 yards. He's got a point to prove. This offensive line, They want to prove that they can wrangle with this defensive front, this very good defensive front of the Cowboys. So it's going to be an interesting give and take with these teams. I mean, if Dallas is able to gain traction, we'll see. Because, you know, the Rams have smaller linebackers, and they don't have pluggers, and that's why they get gashed a lot. But a thing that's been kind of understated, too, is the Rams have a safety, LaMarcus Joyner, who's been hurt for several weeks. He's coming back. That will help with some of the interior runs and the open field tackling, where Dallas is so well at the second level.
Final question about the coaching hires. This rash of young offensive minds getting hired as head coaches, do you find it refreshing because it's outside of the box, it's not the same old retread names, it's young guys getting a chance, or is it dispiriting because it feels like it's cookie cutter? Oh, you're under 40? Oh, you know Sean McVay? Well, then you get a head coaching job.
You know, it's a little bit of both. I mean, I do like the way teams are thinking outside the box. The kind of cookie-cutter part of it is, okay, we've got young quarterbacks. That's all we have to address. Well, you know, I've covered plenty of teams where they focused heavily on their young quarterbacks. And then when that young quarterback gets hurt or doesn't play as well, then it's, uh-oh, how do we manage the other 52 guys? And a lot of times it doesn't work. I mean, look, I covered the Falcons when Michael Vick got in trouble for the dogfighting, and they had built everything around him. And we saw how that team crumbled to ash when they couldn't figure out how to play without him. So, you know, that's, you've got to find the right person for your building. And whether that's, you know, an offensive play schemer, that's one thing. Sean McVay, who everyone says, he's much more than a play caller and play schemer. You know, you talk to everyone on this team, they will tell you he communicates so well, they understand why they are doing everything. Every step has a purpose. He explains it. They said his communication is far more important than the fact he can draw up X's and O's better than just about anyone in the NFL. So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch with this trend that's going on, DA.
Steve Weich, NFL Network reporter. You can follow him on Twitter. He's a must-follow for the postseason, at Weich89. You can see him tomorrow, NFL Network's Good Morning Football weekend edition at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Then also on NFL Game Day morning at noon Eastern time. Steve, it's always a pleasure to catch up. My man, thank you so much for the time. Enjoy the football, and I'm sure we'll do it again here soon.
You too, DA. Take care.
Okay. Steve White's joining us this morning here on the DA Show. When we come back, into Target Demo Friday, so I'll read through all of your Target Demo feedback. Get them into me now so I can read them either on Facebook at facebook.com/TheDAShow or on Twitter, DA on CBS. I'll also get to your phone calls coming up here next regarding the NFL postseason weekend. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
And I'm trashing the rooster that wakes me up in the morning. He's coming to my yard. All these chickens keep coming in my yard.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
This show is the best. Hurricane Jen discussing being woken up by roosters coming in her yard. Couldn't make it up. Happy Friday to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh.
I'll be with you on Sunday Morning Football coming up here, 9 a.m. Eastern time on Sunday. You want to wait until Monday's show to react to the game. Sunday Morning Football comes your way. The same place you hear all of CBS Sports Radio on your phone, on your device, on your smart TV. You can watch the show at watchda.com, on your Alexa, on your radio, on SiriusXM Channel 206, wherever you are, however you listen, you'll be able to hear Sunday Morning Football coming up only 4 episodes to go. Divisional round, championship round, bye week, and then Super Bowl Sunday. So get your Sunday Morning Football in now. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Everyone, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. Geico.com. Aaron's next up. He's in Abilene, Texas, listening to 98.1 to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Aaron?
Hey, DA, and you're right. This is the best show. Beam me up, buddy.
You got it. What's up?
Hey, first off, why is Mraz answering the phones? He is way too big for that.
That's true. He's a pop culture phenomenon.
He has earned that right.
We need an intern on this show.
Absolutely.
It keeps him focused, though. If he didn't answer the phones, could you imagine where his brain would wander to?
Somewhere on a dry peanut butter sandwich, I imagine.
That's right. Absolutely.
Hey, I got something for you. Hey, after the Cowboys dismantle these L.A. Rams this weekend, tomorrow, I have a feeling all these new GMs and owners looking around after hiring the next Sean McVay, and they're going to be saying to themselves, what happened?
How did it?
They lost.
They won.
How could it happen?
How did that happen?
How could it happen?
I thought the same exact thing yesterday when I saw the news that Zach Taylor was going to be hired in Cincinnati. I said, Sean McVay hasn't played a game yet, hasn't coached a game in the playoffs yet, and everybody this offseason is just assuming we need the next Sean McVay. What happens if Sean McVay loses tomorrow night, is then 0-2 in the playoffs with two home games and two division titles, and suddenly has the reputation of great regular season coach, terrible playoff coach? Then the narrative begins that his offense does not translate to the postseason, because that is absolutely in play tomorrow night. Rams lose, Cowboys shut him down, and suddenly Sean McVay doesn't look like the smartest guy in the room, and yet everybody this offseason tried to find the next Sean McVay. And then the Packers and the Cardinals and the Bengals are like, oops. Oh, man, we wanted that guy, but maybe we spoke too soon. Let's get to your target demo Friday.
It's a 3-hour black hole block party. Here's what our listeners are doing as they connect to the mothership.
I want to begin with your Ask the Pros question of the day because it came to us via Twitter during a target demo Friday. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. Mikey tweets, DA, at what point in working with Mraz did you figure out that if you just lead him a little bit, his idiocracy was radio gold? Hashtag Houdini. I assume that you mean idiocy, but he would certainly phrase it idiocracy. I knew kind of early we had something. And I'll tell you, here's two benchmarks. Number one, when I first got this job, hired to be the overnight host of CBS Sports Radio, when we debuted January 2013, the bosses said, do you have a producer you'd like to bring with you from Boston or somewhere else? They said, no, the guys that I work with in Boston are from Boston. They want to stay. The guys that I've worked with in Kansas City that I love very much are from Kansas City. Nobody wanted to relocate. They were very comfortable in their careers and their homes. That's where their families were. So I said, whatever you think. So they said, well, let me have you interview a couple of the guys here that are part-timers. So I sat with an interview with Mraz. If you could just imagine how that would go. I wish we had footage of this.
Uh-huh.
So I said, who are your favorite teams? And he told me the Giants, et cetera, the Rangers, the Yankees. And he said, you wouldn't believe this, but I'm actually named after one of the New York Giants. He told me the story about how he's named after the punter of the 86 Giants, Sean Landetta, because his dad wanted to name him after Lawrence Taylor or Phil Sims, but his mom didn't like the name Phil and didn't want him named after a crack addict. So I said,
true story.
So, true story? So I said, this is just, there's something here that works and I love it, and let's just try to make this thing happen. And then the second part was, within the first month, Mraz had unveiled that he owned more than 40 jerseys. And so going into Lent that year, instead of 40 days, 40 nights.
Is 30 that, jerseys, 30 nights.
30 days, 30 nights. I forget what Lent is because I don't celebrate Lent, but
I don't know. Lent's not exactly permanently 30 or 40. It just ran with that way.
Okay. So, you know, you're supposed to just give up something for 30 days. Mraz was supposed to wear all of his jerseys over the course of 30 days. In this case, 30 overnights. And the amount of jerseys that were disgusting, ill-fitting, stained, out of date was so remarkable. This was the first 3 or 4 months we were on the air together, because this was March of our first year together starting in January. I said, this is just too brilliant. This is the best bit ever. And I just knew we had something with Mraz that you could not replicate. So that was when I kind of realized Mraz was a pop culture phenomenon.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
On to Target Demo Friday. Matthew tweets, DA, I'm in Boston eating calamari and paving the road for the Patriots to the Super Bowl.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
I could use some Rhode Island calamari, some New England calamari with a little hot peppers in it. Oh, delicious. Gary tweets, DA, listening on AM 640 WXSM in beautiful Northeast Tennessee, getting ready for my Colts to upset the Chiefs tomorrow. Hashtag beam me up. Kevin tweets, driving around Louisiana, running errands to free up some time for Sunday's Saints game. Listen to the CBS Sports app. Hashtag who dat. Hashtag how could it happen?
How could it happen?
Kyle tweets, listening to the mothership on the radio.com app, currently working in Lake Havasu City. Beam me up to the stars. Hashtag I am scurvious.
I am scurvious.
Mike tweets, 93-1 the ticket in Boise. No, I'm not scared about the Colts. Mahomes and his confidence saying, we are not those teams. Two, they have changed the lineup in the secondary. Three, Justin Houston and Dee Ford. Hashtag go Chiefs. Dodger Blue Jackson tweets, I'm listening on the road using the radio.com app here in SoCal. I got work tonight, so I'll try to get a nap in somehow. I'm pretty sure I'm going to end up well over 24 hours. Hashtag Target Demo Friday.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Brian's on Facebook, listening on 96.7 at his new job, thanks to Lois, my new office partner, for allowing me to listen to The DA. The Berg Bell is having a birthday dinner tomorrow with my family and some good Italian food. Hashtag you need to eat like this.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Hashtag more Robbie, please.
Thank you for all the joy and pain.
Rob tweets, by the time you read this, I'll be in Cocoa Beach, Florida, listening on 1560 The Fan while cleaning house, literally. I'm a small business owner. Fancy Pants Cleaning Service. Hashtag clean it up. Hashtag wipe it up. Hashtag mop it up.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
Dixieland Dan, DA, tell Lewis and Palmdale I'll be there. According to Mraz, Boise is only like a 6-hour drive from New York. So using that math, California should be a 45-minute drive from where I am in northern Mississippi.
Come on, Damon. Wake up.
Boise's in the middle.
Mississippi to California, 45 minutes. Kawhi fan Dan in Hawaii tweets, DA, got you locked in on the radio.com app. I'm at work listening to you guys. It's Aloha Friday. Tell Mraz I'll be at the Ninth Island Bar and Grill after work having a cold one. Thanks for having another great week of sports talk. Keep up the good work. Aloha, DA. I could use that aloha. And finally, Josh, it's like 20 degrees here, miserable. Josh tweets, listening in Knoxville on the radio.com app, remodeling houses is better when listening to the DA show.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That is your Target Demo Friday. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Remember that inventor, Houdini?
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
And I've linked recipes in the past. I'm not Houdini here. I don't invent things.
Pete, can you add that to the 2019 year of the montage, year of the buffoon montage? I'm not Houdini. I don't invent things.
Right. He was the magical guy. I meant I'm not Edison, the guy with the light bulb.
Got what it. Do they call the magical guy?
Magician. I'm not Edison. I'm not Ben Franklin. Not any of these guys, okay? I am me, and I just try to forward the word of foods that might be going undiscovered.
That's totally fair. What would you think maybe Ben Franklin invented?
Electricity.
What made America the greatest country in the world?
He invented it.
No, Michael.
That was what we were taught our whole lives, so let's hear this one, how he didn't invent it.
Well, what do you think the invention is there? You think
he figured out how to get electricity from lightning bolts and put them into the ground through a kite wire.
Hi, my name is Benjamin Franklin. I was a writer, a diplomat, an inventor, and a statesman.
Okay, that's pretty good.
Close.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
You know, like nobody invented alkaline water. It came from a river, and you figured it out. right?
I can't believe you went to alkaline water of all the inventions ever.
Well, the point is there are things that are out there in this universe that we figure out a way to invent and harness to put into our homes.
Okay. So how about, like, the iPhone?
Well, that came from electricity, and then that came from the internet and pixels and plastic, and you combine a lot of things there. A goulash, I'm involving steak sauce and paprika and London broil, and you put it all together, and you got goulash.
The recipes do get a little complicated, Mraz.
Right? So you put a lot of this stuff together, and you get an iPhone. iPhone goulash. The point is, people invent things that come from other things.
So in a lot of ways, the goulash poppers is the iPhone of football foods.
Sure, yeah.
That might be the whole montage this year.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Oh, that's just good eating right there. Lonnie says, happy Friday, DA. I'm listening on radio.com in Arizona at work, hoping that the Chargers beat the Patriots. Can I get a BMO? Have a great weekend. Matt tweets, I'm streaming online, sitting at home, drinking Irish coffee in my underwear because I work in snow removal and it snowed once in the last 6 weeks. Technically, I'm getting paid for this. So thank you, Western Canadian Chinooks. Hashtag, I don't even have a job, Damien.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Matt literally does not right now. Alex tweets, DA, I want to be an intern for you guys, please. Alex, you have the job. We don't have another intern. So come on down, wherever you are. We'll put you to work. And Jared tweets, I'm listening while crawling around at work in an attic in freezing cold Pennsylvania. Stay in school, kids.
I don't even have a job, Damien.
Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer, Pete the Body Bilotti on the Wheels of Steel, Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com, and Andrew Bogus on Headlines. Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership disconnects.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.